bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me, yeah, I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood.
Precious blood atoning, then I repented of my sins and won the victory.
Aren't you glad there's victory in Him tonight? Somebody say praise the Lord. Well, it's good to be at camp meeting on Wednesday night, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Why don't you turn around, shake somebody's hand around you, greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them in church on Wednesday night. Brethren, play some more of that if you will tonight. Cleansing power revealing.
Thank you, Lord.
How He made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. shout of praise tonight. You love Him with all your heart. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm going to let you be seated for just a few minutes while we look at our prayer request tonight. Certainly want to say it's good to see Brother Mike Lunsford back in the house of the Lord tonight. Somebody say praise the Lord. Like he had four stents put in. The doctors, he said they ran with him to the operating room. He was just about gone, but God wasn't through with him. And he's here in church with us tonight. Brother Mike, God bless you, buddy. Praise the Lord. And we've got some more testimonies about the healing power of the Lord. Janet Lehman wants you to know this, that she thanks God for healing her on Saturday night of a pain that I had for the prior 3 days. The pain was gone before I left the church. The doctor said I had a kidney stone, but it is gone. Praise the Lord. Amen. Brother Matt Carter says, I want to thank the brothers and sisters and also our pastor for praying for me on Friday for having severe chest pains. I went to the Holston Valley ER. They said no heart attack. To God be the glory, Brother Matt. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Well, the Lord is good, isn't He? Amen. Prayer request tonight for Natasha Walton. Brother Randy sends that in, so let's remember that prayer request tonight. I also want you to pray for Eddie Hambrick in the hospital, not expecting him to make it, and just really a friend of our family. Actually, it's Beulah's brother-in-law, Eddie Hambrick. It's her husband's brother, so we'll remember him in prayer tonight, if you would. This is, please pray for Brother Jamie V. Espinoza Madrano, who is suffering with pneumonia. Thank you in Christ Jesus. Leon sends that in. So we'll just commit that need unto the Lord. God is more than able to meet that need tonight. Somebody say amen. Amen. Certainly want to pray for Sister Sharon Ward tonight. She was admitted to the hospital for dehydration and weakness. Very, very sick. Really needs healing in her body. Let's just pray for her and Brother Rocky, the Ward family, that the Lord would be mindful of them. I want to pray for Sister Brenda Harmon, who has flu-like symptoms. Let's remember that prayer request tonight. Brother Jose, Sister Elizabeth Manley, we would like to request prayer for our niece who is suffering with sinus problems, which is also causing her hearing loss. Thank you, and may God bless. So let's remember those needs tonight. Sister Janet Kennedy says, please remember my niece, Amber Gross, in prayer. She's expecting her first child. There are many serious complications, so they're asking that we remember that need tonight. Also, we'll remember Brother Eugene Kennedy in prayer. He's having ear trouble and feeling dizzy from that. So let's pray that the Lord would touch our brother, give him healing in his body. Brother Baker says, I have several family members that need prayer. So we'll remember that need tonight as we pray. Brother Terry Horn says, please pray for my daughter-in-law. That's Brad's wife. She has been having several migraine headaches recently. They're asking that we would remember her tonight in prayer. All the unspoken prayer requests, I know there's many, many needs among us tonight. But we know this, we're serving a prayer-answering God. You believe that tonight with all of your heart. Somebody say, it is the truth. Brother David Swanson, come tonight. Take us to the Lord in prayer. As we stand, let's just commit these things unto the Lord. Ask Him to have His divine will in every situation. We believe He's more than able, don't we? I love you, buddy. God bless you.
Lord Jesus, we again thank You, Lord. We come together this Wednesday night and we're thankful for it. We're thankful for all the testimonies that we've heard, Lord, how You still are the mighty conqueror. You conquer sickness. You conquer everything that would come before us, Lord. You're still the mighty conqueror, and we thank You for that. Now these requests, Lord, we just ask that You just meet each one special, Lord, to the person that wrote it. I can't remember them all, but each one, Lord, is important. They're important to You. Please, Lord, just meet each one according to Your perfect will. Lord, I pray for this service that You just come down and speak to us, Lord. You have something prepared for us. Whatever it is, Lord, may we just be able to receive it. May we just give You all the praise and glory now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother David. God bless you. Ushers, if you want to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here tonight in the service, we certainly want to take this opportunity to welcome you. Glad to have you here. I think we got some folks from South America visiting with us tonight. God bless you. Glad to have you folks with us right here. Give her a nice hand tonight if you would. All those that are streaming the service, we pray that this service would be a great blessing to those folks as well. Did you come to have church tonight? Did you really come to have church tonight? Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise if you love Him tonight with all your heart. Let's sing a song tonight that simply says this: How great Thou art. Took a little drive today, Glenda and I, just over toward Unicoi, just looking at the leaves on the trees, and what a beautiful world God has created for us to get to live in. But you know what? This is a dump compared to where He's taken us. But it's a beautiful world that He's created for. How great is our God? How majestic is our Heavenly Father? Such a God of variety, such a God of nature, a God of creation. I love Him with all my heart tonight, don't you? Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great Thou art. Oh, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, Savior God, to thee. How great Thou art. How great Thou art. Let's sing it now. Thank you, Lord. And it ain't nothing but the truth. How great Thou art. You know, folks like me and you don't know a whole lot about greatness as far as us ourselves being great in the eyes of who's who in the world. But you know what? He handpicked every one of you. Now what about that? That's pretty neat, ain't it? To know that you was handpicked by Almighty God to live here. He loves you so much. If he had a wallet, your picture would be in his wallet. He loves you that much. That's hard to believe, ain't it? But he loves you that much. Don't you love him back? Don't you appreciate him back? When you was unlovable, he loved you so much. He loves you tonight. You're the apple of his eye. You're his favorite kid. You better sing that chorus one more time. Somebody needs to hear it. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to
Satan was sure he had my soul lost and bound. Through God's love and mercy, his grace turned me around. I'm so glad I crossed over in time.
Well, now
I'm so glad I crossed over the line. I'm so glad I crossed over the line. The line that separates the darkness from the night. I'm so glad I crossed over in time.
Sing it, buddy.
I was headed in the wrong direction, my sin dark as night. Satan was standing between
my soul and the light.
Jesus gave me a light to shine when he saved this soul of mine. I'm glad I crossed over in time.
Well, now I'm so glad I crossed over the line. I'm so glad I crossed over the line.
The line that separates the darkness from the light.
I'm so glad I crossed over in time.
Oh, you gotta sing it.
I'm so glad I crossed over the line.
I'm so glad
I crossed over the line.
The line that separates the darkness from the light.
I'm so glad I crossed over in time.
I'm so glad I crossed over. darkness from the light.
I'm so glad I crossed over in time.
I was headed in the wrong direction. My sin, dark as night.
Thank you, Lord.
Satan was standing between.
Glory.
My soul and the light. Jesus gave me a light to
yes,
shine.
He did.
Say, this soul of mine, I'm glad
aren't
I crossed over in time.
Well, I'm so glad I crossed over the line. I'm so glad I crossed over the line. The line that separates the darkness from the light. I'm so glad I crossed over in time. The darkness from the light. I'm glad I crossed over in time.
Give him a hand clap of praise if you love him tonight with all your heart. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, you're just singing so good, I don't know what to do with you. But I'm going to let you be seated. We got a many requests tonight, but we had our song format already laid out. Sister Jessica, if you come on the platform, be getting ready to sing. Brother Brandon, if you sing after her tonight. So let's give our singers a nice hand as they get ready to sing. Praise the Lord. Let's just sing a little bit more of that while she's coming. I'm so glad I crossed over the line. I'm so glad I crossed over the line. The line that separates the darkness from the light. I'm so glad I crossed over in time.
I believe you're my hold my world in your hands. Nothing is impossible for you. Nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible for you. You hold my world in your hands. And I believe you're my healer. I believe you are all I need. Oh yes, you are. Yes, you are.
An old one, but the words never get old. There is a fountain filled with blood. If y'all help me on this one, key of B flat.
There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains. And sinners plunged beneath that blood lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And there may I, the vile as he, wash all my sins away. He washed all my sins away. He washed all my sins away. And there may I, the vile as he, wash all my sins away. Ere since by faith I saw that stream thy flowing wounds supply, redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die. And shall be till I die. And shall be till I die. Redeeming love has been my theme. And shall be till I die. For since by faith I saw that stream thy flowing wound supply, redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die. And shall be till I die. And shall be till I die.
till I die. Redeeming blood has been my theme and shall be till I die.
Justin, pull that chorus up. You're not a God alone. I don't know if we can do it or not. Brother Jack did it, but he's God, ain't he?
What did he do at sea?
You are not a God created by human hands. You are not a God dependent on any mortal man. You are not a God in need of anything we can give by your plan. That's just the way it is. You are God alone from before time began. You are on your throne. You are God alone. And right now, in the good times and bad, God alone, you are God alone. From before time began, you were on your throne. You are God alone. And right now, in the good times and bad, you are on your throne. You are God alone.
Once again,
you're unchangeable.
Amen.
Unstoppable, that's who you are.
Amen.
You're unchangeable,
yes.
You're unshakable, you're unstoppable, that's what you are. You are God alone, from before time began.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Aren't you glad? There's no God beside Him. There was nobody with Him when He made the world. There was nobody with Him when He made the universe. There was no other God when He made you. Well, hallelujah. He's God and God alone. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm glad we're serving Him tonight. Amen. Acts chapter 17, verse 1. Isn't it good to be a Christian? To be able to be in the house of God and come together to worship the Lord and hear His great truth. Amen. Acts chapter 17, we'll read verses 1 down through verses 5. Let's continue tonight on the continuation of the book of Acts. And when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them, out of the Scriptures. If anybody wants to come to our church or come to any of our homes claiming to be Paul or Barnabas or Silas or Mark or Luke or John or whoever, if they don't come with this pattern right here, they're not welcome. I'm going to sit down with nobody in a one-sided conversation. Praise the Lord. Who are you throwing that at? Whoever it fits. From Brother Louis back to anybody on the internet, this is the scriptural pattern of them coming. Now notice, Paul ain't going to message churches. This is not a message church. It is a synagogue of the Jews. He even had courteous and politeness when he went there. Opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead. And that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And some of them believed. You see, a man or men or groups of men who have no results might need to look back and reconsider what they're doing. If folks ain't getting saved and get filled with the Holy Ghost, get devils cast out of them, you might ought to go to canning peaches or something. Picking up trash, pop cans on the side of the road. Come on, friends. I don't care who it is. Any man that claims he's a preacher, if God don't work with him, needs to sit down and shut up. Praise the Lord. Well, glory. Sir, you done got me in a fix already now. Amen. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. Now, you know right here, trouble's fixing to come. But the Jews, which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort. You see, God never uses lewd fellows or of the baser sort. Now, they might have been lewd before he got a hold of them, but when he gets done with them, they won't be left lewd or nude. They might have been baser before he got done, before he dealt with them, but they won't be when he gets done. And gathered a company and set all the city on an uproar and assaulted the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word tonight. We're so grateful, Lord Jesus, that you had Luke to write these things down. How we appreciate it so much. It's amazing, even though this was written 63, 64, 65 A.D., something like that. Here we are in 2016, and we still see people under the same influence of these same spirits. Some are believing, some don't. Some are moved by envy, some of strife. Some are moved by all types of influence. But how grateful we are to know that there's an elect people that's still under the same influence as those believers in the first century. Speak to us tonight, Father, from your word. For it's in the name of the word we ask, the Lord Jesus. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Envy comes in many different forms. It can come from contemporaries. You know, a man that God may use, a preacher, God gifts each man according to his own wisdom and foreknowledge. Some he'll make them to preach more of a dynamic style. Some may be more like a theologian. Some may be more like a teacher. Some may be more like a firebrand, and some may specialize in real dynamic faith to help people get deliverance in their life. And others, God will move on them in occasion by that way. But, you know, God is the one who calls and elects and chooses his men. There can be envy from among your comrades. There can also be envy from those who are not of even the same caliber as you are. This is what we find in this setting. I find it so amazing that Satan has so many tools of opposition. And we've looked at it already and thus far where we've been in the book of Acts, that Satan knows what to use at various times, what enemies that will work in certain times that will not work in other times, certain enemies that will work in certain settings that will not work in other settings. Now here, it's very appropriate for the devil to be able to use these type of people. So they move with envy, and they're going to speak to the people, some of them of renown, some of them of influence, but they're going to also use the lewd type of people, the baser sort, as I gave you the meaning of this last week, that it was people that hang around the marketplace that never done anything. So they're just kind of piled up under a tree, you know, they don't work, they don't do this, that, and the other, they're just troublemakers. They'll, you know, it's sort of like the congregation of people that whenever the Lord Jesus comes into Jerusalem riding on the white donkey, and whenever he comes in, the crowd begins to scream and holler and say, "Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, Hosanna, Hosanna," and they're breaking off palm branches and throwing it before the Lord. Do you realize it was that same mob? Many of that same mob was in the end of that same week, are the very same ones that's crucified, hauling, "Crucify him because he's worthy of death." A mob is finicky. A mob is motivated most of the time by the devil and not the Holy Ghost. And this is why we want to get our identity not as a mob, but as an individual filled with the Holy Ghost. We want to make sure that we're under the influence, not a mom and dad and uncle so-and-so and brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so and so. I don't want the voice of the mob. I want the voice of the Holy Ghost leading me. Because a mob is so finicky in the way that they change. Now, of course, the devil knows this. This is why you'll never find God using a mob mentality. God never uses the mob to bring to pass the word of the Lord. God never uses a mob to correct his elect. God never uses this sort of instrumentality. It's beneath God to use such a thing. But Satan will use hogs and dogs and whatever more. So I know he'll use a mob. So the mob now is going to be moved upon, and the Jews which believe not, moved with envy. Now, no doubt many of their own people has got saved. Many of their own people has got the Holy Ghost. Maybe their mama, their daddy, their uncle, their brother, some of them, and they've lost some of their proselytes. And they've lost some of their support, and they are mad about it. So they are moving with envy. Oh my. They moved with envy and took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company and set all the city on an uproar. Now notice how Satan, remember, Satan is the one who uses this type of instrumentality, calls this type of thing. Don't you see why politicians do the same thing today? Whether it's Democrats or Republicans, and they rally their big deals, and they chant their slogans, and they fly their flags, whether it's the Republicans or the Democrats, both of them are the devil anyhow, and they gather their people and rah, 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 we're going to win, we're going to do this, we promise you this, and we promise you that, and the mob is stupid enough to believe their promises. And the mob will say, yes, yes, this is a man or a woman, as it is in our case, that we want to be in charge of the White House. And they have no intention of doing that. They know humans are dumb. They know humans are foolish. You can get them all riled up and make them a bunch of promises and get their vote, and you sold your birthright. Praise the Lord. My, my. Amen. Now you imagine. passion that is there rallying around through there, and the devil is thinking, boy, I've got these holy rollers now. So they use this type of guys, these baser sort, lewd fellows, and they gather a company and they set the whole city on an uproar. But this is what you find amazing about it, is that they are the very ones who caused this, but they turn it around and blame it on Paul and Silas. Now, they're the very ones that caused this uproar, but when they go to saying it to the magistrates and to the legal authorities, they're saying, well, we are totally innocent, and we haven't done anything, and we were just minding our own business, and we were just sitting there, you know, swapping money and doing this, and these preachers come in, and they turn the world upside down, and they destroyed our family, and we kicked out our televisions and got rid of our dope and got rid of our cigarettes, and now we don't know what we're going to do. Of course, anybody that would use lewd fellas, lies wouldn't be no problem with him. Now what? So they come, and they come to Jason's house. Now in verse 6, when they found him not, they drew Jason and certain of the brothers unto the rulers of the city. So the main true troublemakers are hid. My, crying, these that have turned the world upside down. Boy, I want to have a reputation like that. They have turned the world upside down, or come hither also. Don't you want to be that kind of Christian? That all hell, well, boy, he's got plenty of money. Boy, she's pretty. Boy, he's handsome. My goodness, that ain't nothing to brag on. But let me have the testimony, my, that you've turned hell upside down. Amen. Whom Jason, now watch the way they are wording this. These accusations, they are anointed of the devil. Friends, when you go to talking with people and you listen for just a little bit and you realize they're talking beyond their capacity, you better back off and leave them alone. Because you're talking to somebody inspired by a demon. When they're beyond what they should know and what they should be able to talk, I talk to people, I've been there many times myself, and when you're talking to them and you bounce something to them that you know is beyond their understanding and what they should comprehend, they have an answer, they have an answer, they have an answer. You better back off, because you realize you are dealing with something beyond what you have the ability to deal with unless the Holy Ghost is anointing you. You are fixing to argue with the chief of the tribe of demons if you're not careful. Well, praise the Lord. And many times all they want to do is get you to argue or get you upset and get you angry, and they consider they have whipped you because you've lost your temperance in the battle. Oh my. Now notice what they do. They said, these have turned the world upside down and are come hither also, whom Jason hath received. Now you don't understand this, I know, because you didn't know Roman law. But what they're doing is quoting Roman law. So it was a Roman law that it was forbidden by anyone to receive anyone into their house or their company of anyone who was sowing seditious or malicious principles. So they are quoting the law. Oh my, listen to me now. So if they pass a law that we can't preach against homosexual marriages, or we can't preach against this or preach against that. Come on, don't get quiet on me. And then how do you think that they'll try to bring us the same way? Oh, they're preaching this and the law says they can't do it. And they're preaching this and the law says they can't do that. Don't you tell me the devil don't know how to use politics to his own agenda. But I got news for the devil. He ain't the one running this program anyhow. He can only do as the Almighty will let him do. So let whoever's supposed to be in the White House, let him be there. No doubt it is a change. For whichever way it goes, we are coming close to our body change, my brother, sister. If Hillary needs to be in there to usher it in, I say so be it. If we lose our gun privileges, our religious rights, so be it. Hillary can only press so far till one day the Holy Ghost will say, no more. I don't want my wife living in that world, not another day. Then Hillary and the Democrats, nor the Republicans, or nobody else will be able to find us where we're going, because we're going to enter into another dimension. If that's what we need, so be it. That's not what they said. Whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. Well, actually, they had part of that right and part of it wrong. There wasn't another king. He wasn't another king. He was the only king. You know, even in that, Caesar was never declared, not up to this time anyway, never declared to be king. Even when the Jews said that, they quoted Roman law wrong. You didn't know that, huh? When they said, we have only one king, and that's Caesar, when they crucified Jesus, Caesar had not yet at that time ever been given the title king. Even now, in the first century, they was not titled king. It was forbidden by Roman law. You didn't know that. So the Jews are saying, we've got one king, and that's Caesar. Now here these guys are doing exactly the same thing, and they were trying to say that they was preaching another king. Caesar never decreed himself to be the king. That's one thing I really like dealing with the devil. He's dumb on a doorknob on some things. So just let the Holy Ghost lead you. He'll always tie himself up. Now, you know what? These guys in New Roman law, they could have threw it right back in their face. But watch how they do. They troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go. Now, this again is a legal expression taken from the courts in that day. So they received a bond or a bail or a word of security because Jason being a reputable man. So they took security of Jason and they let them go. Now, they said, we don't believe this man or troublemaker. We believe, you know, something's happened here. We don't know exactly what it is, but we're taking Jason's word or money or bail, whichever it was. They've taken security of Jason and of the other, and let them go. And the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas by night. You mean to tell me the main two preachers that caused all this problem was hiding? So Jason and the people of the city get in trouble, and Paul and Silas are hid. Hello? I can see why some of our message preachers don't want to preach this continuation of the book of Acts. Why not? It's the Bible. It's the Bible. You see, friend, there's a time to be defiant. There's a time to stand right in the devil's face. And there's a time to shimmy down the wall. Right? Oh my. Notice, and the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas by night. Why not do it in the middle of the day? Why not do it right in front of their face? You see, there's a time when our flesh, if we're not careful, will try to exalt itself and act like it's the superior one, when God actually is doing it many times this way to humble our flesh and exalt our soul. Well, I'm this and I'm that. Now, be careful now. Careful. If we're not careful, the flesh will go to bragging about it. But Abraham said the women will let their hair grow out and they'll let their dresses get long. And they begin to look at themselves and think they're pretty attractive and pretty and all that. And if they're not careful, they'll turn it right around. Something that they become despised for. And yet Satan will turn it right around over the glory which should go to God. And then they look at themselves and think, wow, I'm more attractive this way than I was the other way. You're talking about something. There's something that actually the world looks at as a reproach. But yet Satan turns it around in their mind. Many times, no doubt, the Lord will humble our flesh when we become arrogant and proud in our face and in our understanding. Here these preachers now go out by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of of the Jews. Oh my. Now here's another city of Macedonia, the country of Macedonia, on the same gulf side as of Thessalonica, the birthplace of Alexander the Great. 50 or 60 miles southwest of Thessalonica. So what they do, they get thrown out of one place and they go right into another. They're just, you know what, this man that appeared to them in a vision and said, come on over here. So they're led of the Spirit of God. You mean the Holy Ghost led them and they're having all kinds of trouble? The Holy Ghost will lead you in a certain way and you lose your job. Well, I lost my job. It must be a sign I'm supposed to go somewhere else. Maybe not. Oh, my. Now watch. Chapter 18, verse 8. Paul goes to Corinth. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house. And many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. Crispus, chief ruler of the synagogue. Now this is a major problem. The ruler of the synagogue presided over marriages. He also issued divorces. He also interpreted the word. The law, the Torah, the Mishnah. So here is a man that the predestinated seed was laying down in his soul. But he was a ruler of a synagogue. He was elected, but he didn't know it yet. So here this man, oh my, Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue. Now this man has such authority, he has the right to excommunicate the rebellious Jews. So this is a man of great authority and in great standing. Now you know this is not going to go over good. Amen. But Paul felt this was so important in dealing with this man, he broke away from his normal tradition of not baptizing people. Now Paul was very picky in baptizing. Because he knew of his position that people would say that he baptized in his own name. So watch this now in verse 9. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision and said, be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace. My, now why would God tell Paul this? Now remember, this man has been in and out of one city and another. His resume is quite long, with all kinds of troubles and problems. And the Lord, something must have happened between verse 8 and verse 9. Now wouldn't a conversion make most anybody rejoice? It would. And it would make you so happy and so grateful. But when you know you have this tendency that follows you everywhere you go, then you're thinking in your mind, I mean, this guy's not a janitor. He don't pick up the paper in the parking lot. He's the main guy of this synagogue. He's got Satan filled with the Holy Ghost and they're going to blame me for it. Maybe I need to head out of here. I might ought to leave. I mean, this is really going to cause... You see, we don't think of it that way. Oh my, we went to a certain place. Somebody got saved, come out of Catholicism or Lutheranism, whatever more. We'd make a video and put it on our website. Hallelujah, this man done this. We'd want people to know what God's done. Nothing wrong with that. We'd want people, but we've never been beat like he was. We've never been chased out of towns quite like he was. So he's thinking in his mind, oh my goodness, what's this going to cause? Notice God never says these words without reason. Then the Lord spake to Paul in the night by a vision. Be not afraid. Why would God say this if he wasn't? Words. God don't waste his words, Brother Jim. If God is telling us, don't be afraid. Either we are or we're fixing to be. And if I ain't, when I hear them words, I think, oh no, here it comes. Because God don't say stuff without it having a meaning. Why would God tell this man, don't be afraid? Glory. Be not afraid, but speak. So his fear was associated with speaking. He said, don't be afraid, think. Don't be afraid, sleep. Don't be afraid, go ahead and eat. Don't be afraid, speak. So his fear was associated with his speaking. Glory to God. Hold not thy peace. Why is God saying this? Unless there is a need. Oh, there's a need, all right. There is a need, all right. Here you have got the prophet of God. The prophet of God, he don't even know yet his mission to this city. It's one of the worst. One of the worst in this first century. It is full of riches. It is full of homosexuality and effeminism. It is full of idolatry. But there's some seed there. Oh, glory. And Satan is trying to move on this messenger's heart with fear and get him to hold his peace. Wonder if Paul's thinking, oh God, this. What if the Jews hear about this tomorrow? They hear that Crispus got saved? I'll be Crispus. I'll be crisp. They get down with me, they're going to flay my hide. They're going to, you know how we are as men. You see, why is it we don't want to think they're like us? Why is it we don't want to think that they thought like we thought? Look, Trevor, I tell you why Satan don't want us to see this. He wants us to see the book of Acts is way, way up yonder somewhere, and we're way, way down here. That is a lie. We are closer to the book of Acts, Happy Valley, and all the rest of the churches, the true churches around the message. We're not coming to the book of Acts. We are here. We have arrived and been your, my opinion, for several years. We are here. That's why Satan don't want us to see it. What's Paul here? When he writes the letter in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Now here he's writing to the Corinthians. This is the same time frame when Luke writes in the book of Acts. This that happened, that Paul wrote it. He's telling us, when I come among you and I've seen what God done, I was with you in weakness and fear. I even trembled. Well, I'll tell you one thing, bless God, if I'd have been there, I can say you ain't been hitting the head with a rock yet. You ever get hit in the head of the rock, get beat with rods and shipwreck and all this, that, and other that man went through, you kind of might feel a little bit more human too. Come on now, this is during the time frame of the book of Acts when the prophet of God said, I was with you in weakness. I was with you in fear. I was with you in trembling. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. What's the words of the Lord Jesus? Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by vision. Be not afraid, but speak. Hold on thy peace. Isn't it just like our Lord when we need him the most? Now let me ask you, which revelation of the thunders was it that Paul needed at this particular time? Did Paul need to be carried beyond the curtain of time and realize his theophany's over there? Did Paul need a great message on the, you know, about the universe? And what was it that Paul really needed? He needed to hear some very simple, fundamental truths from the Lord Jesus. Fear not, I'm with you. There's times we need to hear deep stuff. But there's times we need to hear simple stuff. Fear not, I'm with you. I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. The Lord never carried him up to the third heaven, but the Lord spoke to him and said, don't be afraid, preach to him. You know, this is the way our Lord assured Abraham In Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. To Isaac, he said, Genesis 26, 24, and the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee and will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. And Jacob, Genesis 42, 3, and God spoke unto Israel in the visions of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, here am I. And he said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down to Egypt. Amen. For I will make of thee there a great nation. What did they need to hear? Fear not. What does that do? It will release you from those things that are around you that's making you fear. Fear has bondage, friends. The fear of cancer, the fear of missing the rapture, the fear of backsliding, the fear of a besetting sin that is going to get the better of you. You need to be delivered of such fears. Fear has torment. Notice God speak to Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 17. You shall not need to fight in this battle, but set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Fear not. Oh, I don't know what you're facing tonight, but let me reiterate the words of the Lord to you. Fear not the doctor's report. Fear not the doctor's visit tomorrow. Fear not the MRI. Fear not the CT scan. Fear not what the election's going to hold in a few weeks from now. Amen. It is our God that brought us into this earth. It is our God that'll take us out of this earth. And the devil can't touch one of your hairs on your head without our Father knowing about it. Fear not! Daniel chapter 10, verse 18, and there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me and said, O man, greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee. Be strong, yea. Be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened. You imagine. When he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened just by saying, fear not. But you'll only be strengthened if you'll receive the strength. Well, I'm too deep for that. Well, I ain't. If the Lord wants to tell me, fear not, pour it on me, Lord. Pour it on me, Lord. If you want to tell me, don't be afraid, pour it on me, Lord. You want to tell me I need more strength, pour it on me, Lord. Notice Mary, the angel spoke to her in Luke 1:30, and the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Amen. Why would the Lord speak this to Paul in one of the worst, filthy, low-down, sorry cities of the Gentiles? I found this the other day. I cried. I'd done a little dance. I said, hallelujah. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by vision, be not afraid, but speak and hold thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee. For I have much people in this city. Now you imagine, they're not even saved yet, but he's calling them his. Woo! Oh, glory to God! Crispus had got saved and a few more had got saved, but the Lord told him, don't you worry, Paul, I've got a bunch of seed down here. This is the why you can't be afraid. Oh no, you're not leaving. You're not leaving like you did Athens and the rest of these places. I need you here to stay for a while, because I've got a bunch of people in this place. They don't know they're my people, and the devil don't know they're my people, but I know they're my people. And I need you to stay and speak while you've got the words of life, Paul. Speak, speak, Paul, while you will bring my people to their position. Lord Jesus believed an awful lot like Brother Branham about election and predestination and all this stuff. The Lord Jesus believed that they were His people and they wasn't even saved yet. I believe like the Lord Jesus. This ain't no preacher saying that. Oh, you said that already got saved, had they? Boy, y'all quiet as mouse. Somebody afraid to say amen. Somebody afraid to say oh me. So I have. And the Greek is, there is to me, or I possess, or there belongs to me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It ain't no wonder the devil, oh my, can you imagine this man of God, Crispus, getting saved and God saying, you ain't out of here yet. This is just the beginning. And remember, the Corinthian church was one of the most carnal churches in the New Testament. Let me tell you tonight, my friend, we may have a carnal church. There may be one here and there and there. That don't mean we're not elect. We may have carnal people here. There may be people here that ain't lined up to the word. But if you belong to the Lord, you will be. He'll get you lined up by the word of God. Do you realize Paul stayed here longer than any other city? His mission trips. Why? Because he wanted to be famous and popular. For one reason. I have much people in this city. Glory. Lord have mercy. So the Lord Jesus calls these in their present status unbelievers, effeminate, perverts, harlots, whoremongers, all kinds of different types of people. He calls them His. The harlot part ain't His. The effeminate part ain't His. It's the seed. You see, they come out with Him. Oh, glory! They come out with Him in the beginning. The prophet of God said you was in the loins of God. Amen. Then you was come in the loins of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. You passed from the loins of God to the loins of Jesus. I have much people in this city. May I reiterate the words of the Lord Jesus? I believe He has much people in this city. Now there may be other areas where He has more and less and more and less. That's up to Him. That depends on where He sowed the seed. If He sowed the seed and sowed a whole big bunch over in Harare, Zimbabwe, so be it. If He sowed the seed in maybe some of those cities in France, there ain't but four or five. That's up to the sower. But if He sows it in one place and there's several hundred gathered together, don't get mad at the preacher that's called to minister to those that's there. This city, sinful, rich, filthy, effeminate. But God said, I have. Not I'm going to. Not after a while. And Paul, if you'll tell the story pitiful enough, maybe somebody will feel sorry for me dying for him on the cross. But he said, I have. Still in their sins, still unregenerate, lost, filthy, but by seed. Possession. Now remember, He's already ascended up into the heavens. He's now the mediator. the order of Melchizedek. Amen. So it's the high priest speaking. So the high priest goes in before the Shekinah with the names of the tribes on his breastplate. So the Lord Jesus knows every name. You imagine Paul when he's so down and so low and so discouraged. Sort of like Elijah the other night when Elijah was so down and so low, and the Lord gave him a message on election. I've got 7,000 that's never bowed the knee to Baal. God gave him a sermon on election and it encouraged him. Paul is thinking about leaving and heading out of town. Glory to God. And what did God do? God gave him a message on election. Praise the Lord, and said, don't you leave. Isn't it amazing? This much people is tied to this one man. This one man is going to beget this much. God didn't say to Paul, well, fine, if you don't want to, I'll get Peter to come and do it, and I'll let Apollos come and do it, and I'll let so-and-so come and do it. He said, you ain't going nowhere. Their names are associated with you. Lord. Come on, children. I ain't going to stand with Luther in that day. I ain't going to stand with Wesley in that day. I'm going to stand with the prophet of God. My name is associated in this age. Our names are associated with the seventh angel messenger. Hallelujah. This is why we are not ashamed to be identified with the message from William Marion Brown. Let the world say what they will. Let them call us what they want to. We are identified. He will present us to Christ. They were his people by gift. They were his people by purchase. He already purchased them. They were given to him by God before the foundation of the world, so they were already his. He purchased their salvation on the cross. And he will lose none. Oh, don't you be afraid. Don't you hold back. And this is the reason why I have got much people in this city. Acts chapter 18, verse 11. And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. Them who? Them much. You imagine now he has direction. He has focus. He has purpose. So he don't no longer know. The scripture doesn't say that he doesn't go to synagogues here and there anymore. But now that he has this direction, wonder why that Luke doesn't record that he goes over here and this guy throws him out on that one. But now there is a basis. And remember, in this Corinthian church, they had such problems. No doubt the Ephesian church had such spiritual pride about themselves. They was one of the deepest churches in the New Testament. Paul could write to them about election and predestination. Never had to scold them about their gifts. They were so deep. But he did have to tell the men how to love their wives. And the wives how to be subject to their husbands. So they were real deep, but they just wasn't good domestic players at home. Oh, glory to God. But you imagine all the churches
New Testament how they all looked down their noses at the Corinthian church. I'm glad I don't go there. They're Pentecostal to no end. They got sexual problems in the church. Even their own prophet wrote to them about getting drunk at communion. Praise the Lord. Did that change what God said? No. Did their shortcomings, their failings, and their, all of that sort of thing, all the human culture, all the atmosphere that they were around, did that change who they belonged to? But what if all the churches were as uppity up as the church in Ephesus? How many chapters do we have in the book of Ephesians? Do we have 1st Ephesians, 2nd Ephesians? No, we don't. As a matter of fact, it's one of the shortest books of the New Testament. So what if all of them were like that? We wouldn't know about communion. Paul never told them the words of the Lord Jesus at communion. He never writes in the books of the church of Galatia or Thessalonica. He mentions it in the carnal church. You know what, friends? I guarantee you folks ain't changed none. Oh, if a lot of folks heard about somebody committed adultery in our church, you know what a lot of the message folks that are, hey, have you heard what's going on over at Donnie Reagan's church? Come on now, don't you get quiet on me. I hope to God there ain't nobody here like that. Say, hey, have you heard of what's going on down at Brother Bill's church? Have you heard what's going on over Brother Richard Wilson's church? That somebody told me the song leader's doing this and that and the other, and the so-and-so's doing this and that. Boy, I'm glad we don't go over there. You're arrogant spirits of the devil. You would have said the same thing about the Corinthian church. Come on, children. Just because people have got problems don't mean they don't belong to the Lord. Just because they wallow and they have all types of shortcomings, it does not believe mean they are not God's people. God said, I've got much people here. Actually, the time frame of all the problems in 1st and 2nd Corinthians are during the same time frame that the book of Acts is being written. Notice 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 11 hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you says, I'm a brother Donnie. And the other, I'm a brother Daryl. And I'm a brother Vin. And I'm a brother Biscoe. And I'm a brother Ron. And I'm a brother Tim Pruitt. Paul said, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you. But now, wait a minute. Now we've got him by his own words saying he had respect to persons. So this guy was a leader. He was a ruler and maybe a wealthy sort of a guy. And he baptizes him and don't baptize the rest of the poor folks. YouTube video, I hear it coming. I baptized none of you, but Crispus and Gaius, which was also a Corinthian, lest any should say that I baptized in my own name. Now look, among these Corinthian believers, that was all divided and fussing. And I'll tell you who's got the message. Now, buddy, if you don't listen to Brother Vian now, you ain't going in the rapture. You're denominational. I'll tell you one thing, boy, if you don't listen to Happy Valley, you're not going. You're denominational. Man, Brother Tim, there ain't nobody, I mean absolutely nobody around the world that can preach like Brother Tim. Everybody's got to hear Brother Tim. You're denominational. You are a carnal Corinthian. Ooh, oh my, your hand clap was kind of weak there, saints. The truth of it is, every one of us are made up of a little bit of Corinth, and we've got a little tiny bit of Ephesus, and we've got a little bit of Galatia, and we've got a little bit of Thessalonica, and we've got, I'm hoping we just got a whole lot of grace and a whole lot of mercy and a whole lot of Holy Ghost. You see, some of you that have no problems in dress, I'll tell you, some of the women of Happy Valley, they need to let me take care of them. Hallelujah. And what's your problem, big boy? Oh, I ain't got none. I see, Ralph, you're a liar. If you're a human, you got problems. And if you don't think you got none, that's your first one. Let's deal with that one, and then we'll go from there. Oh, my. Chapter 3, verse 1. Now, remember, this is written during the same time frame of the book of Acts. And our brethren could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you are not able to bear, neither are you not yet able. Now listen why they're not yet really able to have meat. For ye are yet carnal, governed by human nature under control of the animal appetite. For whereas there is among you envying, contention, rivalry, and strife, and divisions, are not ye yet carnal, and walk as men? For while one saith, oh my Lord. You mean the carnality was not who smoked dope and who didn't? The carnality was not who had television and who cut their hair and who had makeup. But carnality was actually judged by when you divide yourself off among preachers. I don't care how deep folks think they are, when they got this attitude, they're as shallow as milk. You see somebody pushing Brother Vin all the time, feel sorry for him. You see somebody pushing Brother Donnie all the time, feel sorry for him. You hear somebody pushing Brother Tim all the time, Brother Tim this, Brother Tim that, Brother, well, Brother Dalton, no, 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 not Brother Dalton, not Brother David, not Brother Tim, Brother Tim, Brother Tim, Brother Tim, Brother Tim, Brother Tim, Brother Tim. And Brother Biscoe, Brother Biscoe, Brother, we're not trying to beat you on the back to get you speaking tongues like they did in Pentecost. We're not trying to get you tied up like a baby where you're wrapped around one preacher. You want to be wrapped up in Christ, not in preachers. Men will fail you, children. Put your ultimate confidence in no man. Put your ultimate confidence in Jesus Christ. For while one saith, I'm of Donnie, and another, I'm of Vin, and another, I'm of Tim, are you not yet carnal? Now, isn't it amazing? This is going on while Luke is writing the book of Acts. But Luke, don't go that way. He's a smart man. Why did Paul have to? Pastor, prophet. Now he's a messenger to God, but now God's laying it upon his heart to lay there and give birth a year and 6 months, laboring, laboring. How come there wasn't that many converts in Athens? How come there wasn't many other places? He'd go in there maybe one night or two in other places and go out there and leave. When God sowed the seed, maybe one landed down in Athens. And God, for whatever reason, took a whole big handful and throwed it down there among them bunch of homos and world lovers and drunks and liars and thieves and just piled them up in a big pile. And the devil thought, I've got them now. This is my city. Man alive, everybody in here is so living for themselves, doing this and that and the other. And here come a holy roller preacher with the words of life speaking out. He come with the Logos. Amen. God absolutely transferred it into Rhema. And by the power of the spoken word, there's childbirths going on all over that city. It started out with Crispus and his family. And then Gaius. And they got a hold of here and there. And the devil got all tore up. And then Paul got all tore up. And God said, you ain't going nowhere, boy. I've got a bunch of my youngins down here. And you're going to stay until they've got a spoken word birthed. You're not only going to bring them through to an altar, Paul. I want you to teach them some stuff. Oh.
chapter 5, verse 1. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you. Such fornication is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. Oh dear God, there's that silent mode again. Some of y'all ain't guilty of that, are you? I mean, and you're puffed up, and you've not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. So here this is going on in the church, and he's bringing her on into church with him. Paul said, what in the world's the matter with you folks? Y'all just letting that go on, not saying one word about it. Verse 9, he says, I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators. Yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters. For them must ye needs go out into the world. You've got to buy their eggs and their chickens and their, you know, whatever more. You got to go out there and associate with them. But he said, I ain't talking about them so much. Oh my. But now I've written unto you not to keep company of any man that is called a brother. Be a fornicator, a covetous, or idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner. But such a one know not to eat. You mean to tell me it was all right for them to go out there and to be able to buy, you know, pigs or cattle or whatever more from a man that's a sinner? And he's living in adultery, fornicating, doing all this, that, and other. Say, hey, you want to go out for lunch? They said, yeah, I'll go out with you. But then if you got a brother in the church doing the same thing, you ain't supposed to eat with him. I got a feeling if I keep preaching this way, y'all fixing to have an election. It won't be Trump and Hillary, it'll be Donnie. Ma, but yet God said, I've got much people. God never said this about another church in the New Testament. And there was not another church in the New Testament that was fought so hard as far as carnality and sexuality. Was it God's promise that Satan wanted to bluff? Sometimes when he brags on you, it costs you. Remember when God bragged on Job when he got in real trouble? So he said, Lord, don't say nothing about me if you don't care. Just like me secretly, okay? Don't tell the devil. So look at these. Look at what a church. You imagine Paul's enemies in that day said, yeah. Peter started the church in Babylon. So-and-so started the church here. So-and-so started there. And who started this church? The prophet himself. The most gifted, supposedly. And Jesus told him he had a bunch of people there. The most carnal, worldly, unspiritual church of the New Testament. There's hope for us, just as sure as there's a God in heaven. And I'll tell you right now, Brother Donnie has to preach stuff at Happy Valley that I never hear Brother Tim having to deal with. Well, you knucklehead, that shouldn't be hard to understand. Brother Tim deals with one kind of spirits and one kind of thing where he lives in, and brothers in Europe deal with another, and brothers in Africa deals with another. I deal with it here, and other men deal with where they've got to, and that's what we're supposed to do. I don't listen to Brother Tim's sermons or Brother Biscoe's sermons to find out what I'm supposed to preach here. I want to listen to the Holy Ghost to see what you need. I want to mind the Holy Ghost to see, now what if Paul would have modeled his message to the church of Corinth and just made it another letter to the Ephesian church? And never dealt with the issues. Was it embarrassing? Was it humiliating? Certainly it was. But are you glad he done it? Yeah. We would have never known this type of behavior had he not wrote it. Did this take away that they were God's people? No.
not at all. It's your stupidity, your ignorance, your shortcomings, oh my, all your mistakes. Has that changed you from being God's people? Answer me. Has it changed you? Has your shortcomings, your failures? No. If I ever was, I always will be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's stand. First Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to the law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do you not know the saints shall judge the world? If the matter shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? I hear you've got so many saints in the Corinthian church. They're taking one another to court.
They go to church on Sunday. They shout together, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. The preacher said, they say, check hands. God bless you, brother. I'll see you in court tomorrow. God bless you, brother. Now, we're on brotherly terms. We step outside. It's legal. Didn't you get over on my turf, my converter stuff now? Come on, didn't you steal some of my sheep somewhere? Didn't you do something other? I'll meet you in court next week. Bless God. Bless you, brother. See you.
Paul said, what's the matter with you? What is this that you all think this?
Amen. Children, I may be honest with you. Can't you see how dumb we can be?
Come on. Look how dumb as humans we can be. I guarantee you, we're some of the dumbest people that's ever lived on the planet. Boy, y'all have a hard time with this, don't you? But aren't you glad dumbness don't run in the seed line? Stupidity may run in my family on the Reagan side, but it don't on my God side. Ignorance is kind of trending with humanity, but it don't run in my God seed. Amen. Verse 5, Paul said, I speak to your shame. Is it so that there's not a wise man among you? Well, if they're not wise, then you tell me what they are. No, not one shall be able to judge between his brother, but brother go to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers? Now therefore there is utterly a fault among you, because you go to law one with another. Why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Nay, you do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren. You're going before the unbelievers. Mama, what a church. Guess what? You'll be seeing some of these saints and spending eternity with them. This is not the end of their lives. This is only early in the journey.
Praise God. Praise God.
You read 2 Corinthians, it's written like 5 years after 1 Corinthians is written, and listen at the difference. Oh, they still got problems, but listen at the difference of the maturity. Because the word is growing and multiplying, and they're growing into a more strong. There never was an Ephesian church. There never was a church like Galatia. But God, for whatever reason, throwed all kinds of seed up in one big pile. They had major problems coming to maturity. But God loves dealing with hard cases. I realize some of the message preachers got the best. They got folks that, I mean, as soon as they heard the message, they come to it. As soon as they heard them preach the first sermon, they got the Holy Ghost. They got sanctified soul, spirit, body, nose, mouth, ears, tongue. They don't never make no mistakes. They don't never do no wrong, including the preacher. But some of us has got to deal with the rest of you folks. Now, I wish all of my folks at Happy Valley were Maytag Christians. Of course, then you'd need a Maytag pastor. Don't you appreciate God's grace to you? Lord, children, when we think about our mistakes, our fears, you don't drink, many of you don't smoke, you don't. But do you understand? When we fear, and that fear runs into unbelief, you have sinned. When fear grips our heart and overrides the faith and the promise of the Word of God, we have sinned. People think sin is cursing and lying and listening to the wrong kind of music and lusting after women. Whenever we let fear get a hold of our lives over the promise of God, praise the Lord. When we don't have the right attitude one to another, and we cannot forgive one another from our heart, even without them asking us for forgiveness. It amazes me that we don't think that's wrong. Mama. But God has much people in this church. Oh, we all ain't from here. We moved here from here and there and everywhere. But I believe He's gathered us together here in this city. Not for our glory, not for mine, not for yours, but for His. Do we have problems? We do. Have we had major issues? We have. Will we continue to? We will. When do you think they'll stop, Brother Donnie? The day of the rapture. But I am doing my best as your pastor to bring you and preach you to the very last revelation you will ever get while you are immortal. But I'm not going to tell you tonight what that is. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank You tonight for Your Word, Lord. Lord, I want to thank You again that these things are written in the Scriptures. Lord, that we will be able to understand through our humanity, our mistakes, our failures. Lord Jesus, You still love us. Oh God, it's such a shame that people and preachers have to feel like they have to project their church as one without sin and without problems and without troubles in order to be superior above everybody else. I pray You'd help these people here to realize we never want to do that, because every one of them that I know who have done that have wound up tumbling. And they've had public humiliation. They've had all kinds of things come out. And I wonder, could it not have been avoided if they'd not had that attitude in the first place? Instead of trying to project to everybody that would hear them, they don't have sin and they don't have to deal with sin, and they're a superior among the message people. Help us, Lord Jesus, to realize that type of attitude is not from You. That attitude is from the devil. That's the attitude he had in heaven, feeling he was superior above Michael, which was Christ. I thank You, Heavenly Father, that You inspired Luke to write these things. I thank You that Paul was willing to attach his name to this Corinthian church and write about their carnality, their shortcomings. But yet, Lord, we know You did not let them go on in this. We know there'd be none of those that was living in fornication. You will not take a fornicator in the rapture. So the elect out of this mess in Corinth got their lives straightened up. It may have took them longer. Maybe it was the way they was raised, their environment. Many of them being Gentiles, they were raised like dogs and heathens. And maybe it took them longer than some of the Ephesian saints. But after all, we all wind up going together in the rapture. Paul and them went 2,000 years ago, Irenaeus and Luther.
They've been gone for many, many hundreds of years. But in reality, we all see you at the same time. We come in the very last few moments of time. So Lord, help us, I pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that through our shortcomings and our failures, you do not cast us away. But we are still your people. If there's any here tonight just discouraged because of themselves, maybe they see more failures than they see accomplishments. Maybe they see more shortcomings than they see victories. May the Spirit of God encourage them tonight and help them, Father, to see. Maybe that's been the truth thus far, but it does not mean that has to be the rest of the story of their lives. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Anybody like to be remembered tonight in prayer before the Lord? Just raise your hand. God bless you. Aren't you glad for the mercy of God to Corinthian people? Amen. Would you lay your hand on the person standing by you? Now, humanly, there may be things about that person you dislike or don't really care for. But remember, the Lord God may have spoke about this person too. I have a person in Happy Valley. I have much people in Happy Valley. You might have your hand laid over on the shoulder of a seed. And humanly, you may disagree and you may not get along in the flesh. But when God rebirths that body of both of you, you'll be able to get along in eternity. Let's pray for one another, shall we? Heavenly Father, we just ask you for strength and courage and help. Lord, whether we're black or white or Indian or Chinese or Ethiopians, Kenyans, Tanzanians, whether we're Europeans or Americans, Lord, we're all flesh and we all need your help. Father, where we've been in the message 20 years, 30 years, or 10 years, or 5, or maybe a year, we need your help and your grace. Whether we're preachers, deacons, trustees, we need the strength of God. Lord, I imagine this man of God took great encouragement and strength and hope. How many times did he go back to what you told him? That you had much people in that city dealing with church problems and church carnality. Lord, I know how many times I went back to you speaking to me nearly 30 years ago before I come to this place, Lord Jesus, called Johnson City. When I told you, Lord, and you remember the time, and I told you I wouldn't come in here. I didn't want to come here. I didn't want nothing to do with this church. I've repented many times for that, Lord. I knew it would be a great task. Not one of my friends encouraged me to do so. But Lord God, it was you that spoke to me to come. The opposition has been tremendous. The trials have been so great. Oh, no doubt many more that lay in front of us. But Lord, I'm so glad I obeyed your voice. I'd hate to think of where I'd be tonight, Lord, if I'd have disobeyed you. I love the folks down in Kentucky and still love them. They'll always have a special place in my heart. But where would I be, Lord, if I'd have disobeyed you and stayed there 29 years ago or 28, whenever it was, and I first came here? Lord, where would many of these folks be tonight if mine and their name was associated together? Hallelujah. Lord God, I'm convinced that when you send a preacher to a place, it's not always for his benefit, but many times it's for the benefit of the elect. It'd been easier for Paul to went to other cities and maybe not pulled on him near as hard, staying there a year and 6 months with constant labor in the word and constant issues back and forth and back and forth. And no doubt he could have went to other places and it'd been a lot easier on him, but yet you spoke to him to go there. Lord, I'm so glad you did. Those Corinthian Christians for eternity will be identified with Paul. How grateful they will be. Oh, glory to God. Not only them, Lord, but we will rejoice as well. Praise be to God. May it be the same with us, Lord Jesus. It might have been easier on me as a man. If you had sent me to another city, maybe where the problems wasn't this and that and the other. But Lord, really, if this is where you wanted me to be, this is where I want to come. Lord, the opposition may be great, the difficulty may be great, but this is where you assigned me the task. I wouldn't want to go anywhere else, Lord.
I pray, Heavenly Father, you would help us to have that same determination, Lord Jesus, that we will go through our problems. We will go through our difficulties. We will go through our carnality, and we will overcome them. People may hear the sermons from Happy Valley and say, my, boy, he has to preach this and deal with this and that and the other. But if they can catch us just a little bit before the rapture, they'll realize them sermons was a success. Because there's going to be a bunch of people on that morning that's going to go out of here, praise God, by the power of the spoken word. Not me, Lord. Not me as a man. It can't be me. No more than it was Paul as a man. It was that word that you anointed that man to speak and spoke them right into a spoken word burst. Hallelujah. And by the preaching of Paul and the others that come through there, those Corinthians died and went down to the grave, and their bodies or soul rather went into that theophany body, but they are waiting, and they are waiting on us. Amen. They are waiting on us in this day, and when the final voice sound, the Corinthian Christians will be released out of there, our brothers and sisters, and we will see some of those ones, and they probably thought, I'll never make it. I'll never be able to get through this. I'll never overcome it. And we'll stand right there with them and shake their hand, and they say, where did you live, brother? I lived in Corinth. I was the man that Paul wrote about that got caught up in fornication, but God delivered me. God delivered me and filled me with the Holy Ghost. I was the one that said, I'm of Cephas. I was the one that said, I'm of Paul, but God delivered me. Amen. And I'm standing here tonight with you, my brother. And you say, where did you come from? I come out of Happy Valley. Oh, I dealt with this and that and the other, but God sent us a man of God, and he sent us evangelists, and they preached us right into the revelation of this end time. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, encourage your people tonight, Father. Encourage me, Lord. Encourage your ministry around the world. Encourage every God-called pastor, every God-called evangelist. Grant it, Lord Jesus, to keep speaking your words. Keep speaking your words. Your people need to hear them, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. I know we have different preachers and ministers that listen to our services and archive. May I say to every one of you men of God, don't fear to speak the truth. God's people need you. Hallelujah. Be encouraged, my brothers. Be encouraged, my brothers, to speak the words of life. He has people in your city. He has people allocated to your gift. He has people allocated to your ministry. They need you, my brothers. Hallelujah, hallelujah. What about it, saints? Could we say amen to that? Amen. Could you send an amen to the men of God saying, speak it, brothers. Amen. Tell them, preach it, brothers. Amen. Preach it, brothers. Amen. Preach it, brothers. Bring us the word. We need you. We need you, brothers. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Don't fear. Speak my word. It's the predestinated call, and their soul must be stirred. For I have much people in Laodicea that must hear my name. I will wash them from their shame. I will deliver them. I will set them free. Glory be to God. Speak my word. Speak them to eternity. Blessed be the Lord God. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Oh, don't you love him, church?
Let's just worship him just a little bit before we go. Oh, Jesus, we love you tonight. Father, we thank you for your grace and mercy to us. Lord, I know I'm not the deepest person, and I know our church ain't the deepest church. And a lot of folks don't like us. They laugh at us, make fun of us. Preachers, black and white and whatever race, say I'm not a deep preacher and I don't preach mysteries and this and that and the other. I know that. I know I'm not a great deep guy, but it ain't because I don't study. You know that. But I can only be what you've gifted me to be. I may not be deep. I may not be this and that. But I want to be what you want me to be, Lord. And I want to use what you put in my hands. If you only give me just a few loaves and a few little fishes, I want to use them with all of my heart, Lord. Praise be to God. Praise be to God, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We worship you tonight, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you for being our God. Thank you for being our priest, our redeemer, our deliverer. Thank you for not leaving us because of our weaknesses, our humanity. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Praise be to God. We worship you, Jesus. Oh, we worship you, Lord. Amen, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord. Thank you, Father. Harry, sing something for us. Let's just sing just a little bit before we go. I know you got to work and your kids got school and all that, but I hate to not go and just love him a little bit before we go. Oh, my. Thank God. Thank God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. Praise your name, Lord. Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. My Lord God. I bless your name, Lord Jesus. I bless your name, my Lord.
Feel going on.
Hallelujah.
Oh, trials may come,
yes, Lord,
on every hand,
yes, Lord.
Still I feel like
so glad I've crossed over the line. I'm so glad I've crossed over the line. The line that separates the darkness from the light. I'm so glad that I've crossed over. Come on,
head in the wrong direction, Satan sure he had. Oh, my soul lost and bound. Through God's love and mercy, His grace turned me around. And I'm glad I crossed over in time. My sin dark as night of night. Oh, Satan standing between my soul and the light. But Jesus gave me a light to shine when He saved this soul of mine. I'm glad I crossed over in time.
I said that I'm so glad I crossed over. Well, I'm one of them. Yes, I'm one of them. Well, I'm so glad that I can say that I'm one of them. Well, I'm one of them. Yes, I'm one of them. I'm one of them. Oh, they were gathered in the upper room. They was all praying in His name. Well, they were baptized with that same Holy Ghost. When the power for this service came. Now what
he did in the book of Acts that day. I said he's doing it right now, the saved. I don't know about you, but I'm so glad that I can say. Most everywhere whose heart roll the flame with the fire that fell at Pentecost, cleansed and made it clean. It is burning now within my heart. Holy, I'm so glad. One of them. Well, one of them. I'm one of them. Well, aren't you glad you can say I'm a one of them?
Say I'm one of them.
I'm one of them. Now let me give you the invitation. Now come, my brother, seek this blessing that will cleanse your heart from all sin. What will it do for us? It will start the joy bell ringing, and it's going to keep your soul aflame. I said it's burning now down in my heart. Oh, glory. Can you help me sing that? To his name. Oh, glory. Well, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Well, I'm one of them. Yes, I'm one of them. Well, I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. Dear God, you dismiss the name of the Lord. Amen. I'm one of them. Well, I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. Well, I'm one of them. Yes, one of them.
I'm one of them. I can say
I'm one of them.
I'm one of them.
Yes, I'm one of them.
Yes, one of them.
Yes, I'm one of them.
Yes, one of them.
I'm so glad that
I can say I'm one of them.
Well, though these people may not learn to be most of worldly fame, they have all received their Pentecost, baptized in Jesus' name. Yeah. And are telling now both far and wide, His power is yet the same. I'm so glad I can say I'm glad,
I'm glad, I'm glad.
I'm one of them.
Well, I'm so glad I can say I'm